Good afternoon, everybody. We'll call the Full Ways Means Committee to order for June 26th. And as is our custom this time of year, we will jump right into budget bills reported out of Subcommittee House Bill 5029, Capital Construction. Senator Hannon.
He's not here.
House Bill 5029 is the capital construction budget bill for state agencies other than higher education. Most of the projects included in the bill have been reviewed and approved by other subcommittees during the reviews of various agency budgets. Our subcommittee adopted the recommendations of those other subcommittees. Our subcommittee also approved other legislative administration's request for other funds expenditure limitation to begin planning the renovation of the Capitol Galleria area things and hearing room. Your subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5029. Any questions? Any discussions? Any objections? House Bill 5029 is moved.
Is this the same bill that we had seen earlier in our subcommittee?
Yes.
Okay.
House Bill 5029 is moved to the House with a due pass recommendations ordered. Senate Bill 5512, Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5512 is the budget bill for the Department of Education's grant and aid programs. Funds in this budget are distributed to school districts and other local programs that provide services to children with specific educational needs. Programs include the Oregon Pre-Kindergarten Program and the federally funded Compensatory Education and Nutrition Programs. The subcommittee approved a budget of $879,987,384 total funds. The budget is a 10.38% increase over the governor's recommended budget and a 16% increase over 99-01 estimated expenditures. The increase over the governor's budget is primarily due to the addition of $100 million federal funds expenditure limitation as a result of recent and anticipated actions in the U.S. Congress. This includes almost $40 million for special education. The subcommittee removed the following amounts from the budget and appropriated them as special purpose appropriations for the department in the emergency fund: $8.5 million general fund for the early childhood special education program, and $3.9 million general fund for the Oregon pre-kindergarten program for expansion in the last 6 months of the '01-'03 biennium. It also reduced the OPP budget by $2 million general fund in anticipation of additional new federal Head Start dollars. The department is directed through the budget notes to provide additional information on these programs to the emergency board and request additional funds for the Oregon pre-kindergarten program should the federal Head Start dollars not materialize. Due to limited state resources, the subcommittee did not fund the department's policy option packages for dropout prevention and recovery or a beginning teacher and administrator mentor program. However, the subcommittee expressed its support of these programs and to that end adopted a budget note directing the department to seek federal funds for these initiatives. The subcommittee reluctantly approved the $5.5 million reduction in regional programs serving children with disabilities. It recognized that because of federal special education laws, eligible children will be served, if not by regional programs, then by their school districts. It also discussed the net impact after taking into account $2 million in new federal special education dollars expected to be allocated to the projects programs. The subcommittee adopted a budget note requiring the department to report on the funding of regional programs, including federal funds, changes in service delivery models as a result of the general fund reduction, and fiscal impacts to school districts and education service districts in accommodating the general fund reduction in the regional programs. It also instructed the department to take a lead role in helping school districts devise a regional strategies approach to mitigate the effects of the reduction. Finally, the Education Subcommittee approved individual federal funds limitation for each of the department's largest sources of federal funds. This includes special education funds and Title I compensatory education funds. This is consistent with the previously established limitation for another large source of federal funds from the Department of Agriculture for the nutrition programs. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Senator, without question, you get the award for the read of the longest pony.
Just because of what I was reading?
And I know we're going to have questions on this one. Any questions or discussions? Any objections?
Mr. Chair, just one question relative to the carrier. The amount per student on the English second language, what does that calculate to? I didn't run a calculation. Is that a...
Assume?
Mr. Chair and Representative Butler, I'm not quite sure that I understand your question.
What was the total amount and the number of units that we'll be doing English second language for the budget within that bill?
Mr. Chair and Representative Butler, I think you might be thinking of the state school fund and the distribution according to the weights, including an extra weight for ESL students, but that's not part of this budget.
Okay. All right. I beg your pardon.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5512 forward with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5513, Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5513 is the budget bill for grants to schools from the School Improvement Fund. Overall, the stated purpose of the grant program is to support activities directly related to student achievement while allowing school districts the flexibility in determining which activities used to reach these achievement goals. School Improvement Fund is intended to link the funding with performance. The fund would be distributed to schools through a formula that is by each district's proportional ADMW. Focus of the grant program for 2001-03 and 03-05 is improve student performance on third and fifth grade reading and mathematics assessments. School districts that have met or are making significant progress towards performance targets in this area would be able to use funds in other areas as specified in House Bill 2298, the implementing measure for the grant program. This bill previously passed out of the Ways and Means Committee. At a $220 million funding level, the portion of state school funding targeted towards a specific performance measure that would be established in statute and for which schools would be held accountable for meeting that measure is approximately 4%. The subcommittee amended the bill to remove the other fund's expenditure limitation for tobacco settlement proceeds and to replace that amount with general fund. As a result, the budget for the School Improvement Fund is $220 million general fund. Subcommittee approved this funding contingent upon passage of House Bill 2298 or other enabling legislation for the establishment of the School Improvement Fund. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Senator Hartung would be a much better read. any questions on Senate Bill 5513? Discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5513 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 55.
Co-Chair.
Senator Miller.
On the first bill that we did that you tried to cover for Senator Hannon. If 5029, Senator Hannon probably agreed to this. But
yes.
On page 5 of the bill, there's an entry here, and looks like an expenditure of about $750,000 for chiller upgrades.
Yes.
What are those?
That's an air conditioning system. Be glad to have staff report it to you. It's not for butt-faced beer.
That's all I wanted to know, Mr. Okay. Chair. Jeez.
That is it.
Schiller
cooler distribution. Okay.
I've heard of it.
Sorry.
Back to the This is yet to improve.
Yeah.
Or approve. Senate Bill 5524, Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5524 is a budget bill for the Department of Higher Education. The approved budget supports several new initiatives. $20 million of general fund will enhance engineering and computer science programs, including $15 million to continue efforts to double the number of engineering degrees awarded, and $5 million towards establishing a Tier 1 engineering program in this state. The budget also includes $7.2 million to establish a branch campus of Oregon State University in Bend, and $8 million of additional support for the system's four smallest campuses. In this budget cycle, the state also expanded OSU's Doctor of Veterinary Medicine into a four-year independent program. The budget restores all $17 million of cuts in the governor's budget to the Agricultural Experiment Station, the Extension Service, and the Forest Research Laboratory. This will allow these three statewide public service programs to continue all of their programs without reductions, including the important new programs that the legislature established last session. The budget also will allow OUS to avoid the program reductions that had been proposed for education and general programs. Over $48 million of general funds is added to the governor's recommended budget to maintain existing programs without cuts. Finally, the subcommittee approved an other funds limitation that allows OUS to spend the revenues projected from a 4% tuition increase in 2001 and a 3% tuition increase in 2002. This tuition increase is less than the governor originally proposed and less than the 5% maximum annual increase approved by the State Board of Higher Education. The tuition increase, along with the general fund levels approved in this bill, provide OUS with $35 million above what is needed to restore the cuts in the governor's budget. These funds will be used to meet costs resulting from inflation and enrollment growth and allow for program enhancements. The budget directs OUS and any campus adopting a tuition fee rate increase above the 4% and 3% levels to report to the emergency board on the reasons for this tuition increase. This budget will allow OUS to preserve existing programs and establish new ones. At the same time, tuition increases can be moderated from the levels originally proposed. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5524 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any question on the higher ed budget? Any discussion? Senator Dukes.
It occurs to me, Mr. Chair, that I may need to declare a potential conflict of interest. I'm not sure just how big the class is here, but it is entirely possible that three of the immediate members of my family will be in higher ed next year. Also occurs to me, if we tag this one onto the tax increase that I got because I'm not married, I can't afford to be in the legislature.
Let the record show that Senator Duke declares a conflict of interest that, should we find herself in her circumstance, would apply to all of us, and then I therefore don't think there's necessarily a conflict of interest. But
well, Mr. Chair, if the Democrats don't show up, won't matter.
Yeah. Senator Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a comment for the record. I expect that this budget enables us to serve all of the enrolled students in the OUS system. Thank you.
A question or a statement?
A comment.
Bordering on a statement.
Whatever you say, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. We're moving closer to closure. Any other questions, comments on the higher ed budget? Senator Farioli.
I'd like to, Mr. Co-Chair, thank you. I'd like to thank the co-chairs for their consideration in helping the Oregon State University Veterinary Medical School toward becoming a full four-year program. I think that's a very important, critical piece of expanding capability of land-grant college to serve rural Oregon and all of Oregon. Thank you very much.
You know, I think when you look at this budget, by itself, you look at the $8 million for the small schools allotment, you look at the $20 million for engineering, you look at the branch campus, the veterinary school, the $17 million for enrollment growth, the additional dollars for the RAM, and then you couple that with the capital construction, the higher ed capital construction budget. I think we've got a very comprehensive higher ed package going out here this year. And it is a, I think, a testament to the work of many of us, all of us, in ways and means. And this is, I'm very proud of this entire package. Mr. Representative Hill.
I'm just happy that we can expand access in Eastern Oregon.
That would be other things.
That would be Central Oregon.
Central.
Yeah, that's Central Oregon to you.
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair.
East of where I'm at.
So is Gresham. Senator Farioli.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'd like to thank Representative Schrader for his steadfast support for the expansion of OSU Veterinary Medical School, that which I don't think we would have gotten here. So.
And the Senator, likewise.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people working on a lot of things, and many of them are sitting at this dais. Anyway, any further discussion?
Just a question. Representative Butler, package 119 indicates it's purchase for acquisition, various equipment and investments for $20,290,000. Is there a little more detail on what would constitute various equipment and investments?
Steve?
Mr. Co-Chair, yes, if I may just... These are various information technology types of investments that would be financed through certificates of participation. And these include funding system-wide funds for instructional technology, as well as a number of, that's at a $5 million level, as well as a number of IT projects on the various campuses. OUS did provide a list of those projects.
Just to follow up, Mr. Co-Chair, will they be reporting to the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee?
The Department of Higher Education will be making a report to JLCIC this month.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. There's a no vote in the sub, and it will be today, and whereas I'm glad that we were able to lavish, I guess, a lot of money on different institutions, we did that at the same time that we did a tuition increase that burdens all of those that want to attend these nice schools. I was uncomfortable with that and remain so, and I'll be voting no on this particular budget for that reason.
Understand. Any further comments or questions? Yeah. Help him get out of the room, Senator. I mean, you know.
Let me everybody the chiller.
Yeah. Representative Schrader.
Just a quick comment in response to that. I think it's important for the subcommittee to, or the full committee to know that we actually brought down some of the tuition increases with the co-chair's help in that budget. So it, you know, met all of our expectations. We actually went a little ways to trying to get to where the students needed to be. So I thought that was a very good thing.
We not only brought it down, it also follows, obviously, 4 years of the tuition freeze. Anyway, any further discussions, questions? Let the record show Senator Miller is a nay on Senate Bill 5524. Any other objections? Seeing none. House or Senate Bill 5524 is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 5553, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 553 is brought to you by Lucky Strike Greens. 5553 is brought to you by Lucky Strike Green when it went to war, Joe Camel, the Marlboro Man, the page boy who spent his career announcing a call for Philip Morris, and other tobacco manufacturing marketing efforts. I think the folks down there are getting a little bored. It is the first allocation of monies received under the Master Settlement Agreement of 1998. It allocates $99 million to the general fund, $124 million to OMAP for the Oregon Health Plan Medicaid Program, $20 million for the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, fondly known as FEOP,
$5 million for tobacco use prevention, and up to $100 million for the health care trust fund that we created in the bill we passed out of the committee the other day. The bill does not provide expenditure limitations because those are provided in various agency budgets. Your subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5553 as amended. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Nice read. Any questions? Representative Hayden.
A series of questions and comments, Mr. Co-Chair, if you will indulge me.
Of course.
Out of curiosity, why was this bill referred to the Capital Construction and Lottery Subcommittee?
I would anticipate that the reason it was referred to the Capital Construction, Lottery, and Bonding Subcommittee was because the other three subs were busy.
To continue, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have looked this over carefully and note, as the good senator said, that $100 million will go into a health care trust fund, $5 million to tobacco use prevention education, $5 million, $19 million and some change into the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, $124 million into the Office of Medical Assistance Programs. I think, Mr. Chairman, I would comment that there seems to be some linkage between the tobacco settlement and these areas. I think you can make a connection with health-related, tobacco-related diseases and tobacco education, small as that is. Mr. Chairman, I don't see the linkage between the tobacco settlement funds and the $99 million appropriation to the general fund. Could that be explained to me, sir?
The $99 million appropriation to the general fund creates our ending balance.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I do plan to vote aye on this bill, but I do so with the statement that I do not agree with transferring tobacco settlement funds to the general fund or to the ending balance. And further, as a health care provider, I feel I must declare a conflict of interest.
Understand both comments. Any further questions? Further discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5553 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Committee, if you'll indulge me and also Senator Brown, I'd like to skip ahead to House Bill 2355.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2355 came to the Ways and Means from the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. The bill specifies the circumstances under which a juvenile may seek post-adjudicatory relief, clarifies procedures by which a person may seek such relief, and establishes a time limit for seeking a post-adjudication appeal. The bill also requires the judge to make a written finding stating their reasons for setting aside an order of jurisdiction involving a petition alleging a juvenile has committed an offense considered a sex crime if committed by an adult. There is a minimal fiscal impact of the bill, and the amendments that the subcommittee adopted significantly reduce the fiscal impact. This is brought to you by your Oregon Law Commission's Juvenile Code Rewrite. It is the product of a work group, and we would recommend your approval of this particular bill. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2355 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll skip back then and start to follow the posted agenda to other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 50A, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill comes to you from your Natural Resources Subcommittee. Senate Bill 50A directs the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Department to promptly relocate its headquarters offices from Portland to Salem. The bill directs the agency to sell its Portland office building and move into leased quarters in Salem until a permanent Salem headquarters can be provided. It requires the agency to report by June of 2002 on its relocation actions, costs, and permanent siting plans. Your subcommittee heard substantial testimony regarding the move and the disruption it will cause employees. The agency is already putting together programs to assist employees in job search, commuting options, and other assistance. Your subcommittee will consider a budget note addressing issues relating to a smooth transition to Salem. Your subcommittee concurs with the agency that it will take about 1 year to adequately plan and make the move to Salem with the least disruption to customers and staff. The facility that will be leased in Salem will be off the mall and will likely become ODF&W's home for at least 5 years. If the agency's plan recommends establishing a permanent headquarters building on Capitol Mall, the next legislative session will be asked to consider financing the construction of another mall building. Even if financing is approved in the 2003 session, the earliest the building could be ready for occupancy would be in 2006. Your subcommittee believes the Fish and Wildlife Department will receive sufficient funds from sale of its Portland building to finance its relocation to a lease space in Salem. The agency will also seek the best option for upgrading its technology system and hopes to have sufficient funds left over from the building sale to cover that upgrade as well. The agency will return to the emergency board by June of 2002 with its recommendations for relocating its headquarters office. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends passing Senate Bill 50A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. I'd just like to note for the committee's understanding the good work that Representative Morgan has done on this, well, with her entire committee, but this particular bill as well. We understand this controversial area. I have every confidence that the path we've chosen and the prudence you've exercised will result in the best public policy when it's eventually implemented. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, comments? Senator Dukes.
Comment. Even with all of those good words, I opposed the bill in committee, as did many of the committee members, and I will oppose it in full and on the floor. We're doing this because we've had problems with some management folks in the agency, and I think we've replaced all of them at this point, and we have new folks that I believe are headed in a much different direction. We're going to cause disruption to a lot of state employees, and as they pointed out on Saturday, we stand a good chance of losing the brightest and the best because they can go elsewhere. I have concerns about some of the pieces that aren't here, most notably the $1.5 million that we need for the new computer system. It wasn't put into the budget because they were going to have to replace it anyway, but it wasn't put into their budget either. It doesn't sit in anybody's budget. But yet the computer system that they currently have that we have to maintain through the move is 10 years old, and so we know we're going to have to replace it whether they stay in Portland or they move. And it seems to me that especially if we're planning on moving them, that we best figure out where the new computer system is going to come from. It was also frustrating that we were not allowed to make any amendments in committee. The timeline that was laid out for the move and getting into the new building at its very, very best, if we started today, would give us 16 months before they could get into a new building. And yet the language in Senate Bill 50 on line 4 says that the agency shall promptly relocate the department's headquarters. And it would have been wise to remove the word promptly. It doesn't make any sense to put a requirement on an agency that we ourselves do not anticipate them to be able to fulfill. Also, for the same reasons, the emergency clause at the end doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we were not allowed to amend any of those. It would have made sense since the agreement says that none of this, the agreement between the governor's office and the legislature is that none of this, the funding for this will come out of the agency's budget, that we would put something to that effect in there, because as we all know, when you decide to do something this large, there are all kinds of peripheral costs you never anticipate, and yet we were not allowed to put that language into the bill either. I think that the move is probably unnecessary, but even if we decide that it's a good policy thing to do, which it could be, this bill doesn't pencil out.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Duncan?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to vote to move it out today, and yet hold my options when it gets to the floor. I have some concern about the relocation of staff, and I understand the long run. I guess I'm concerned about disrupting some families in my area. I'm not trying to hold on to it, just keep it up in my area, but I mean, I'm thinking of families who have homes, and I realize that you can drive back and forth to Salem. I've done it many times, but I'm not concerned about higher management, but I am concerned about many of the administrative personnel and so forth. So, but I will vote to get it out of the committee, but reserve the right to vote no on the floor.
Thank you, Senator, and I also understand, you know, anytime you start talking about, you know, relocation and dislocating a number of families, public or private employees, it doesn't make any difference. It's a very onerous, difficult decision, and I guess what finally put me over the top on this and made me a little bit more comfortable was if I just look back and you make a subjective decision, but also a gut-level reaction, would this agency and the mission it's to accomplish have been better off if this agency was, say, in Salem for the last 10 years? My feeling towards that is an overwhelming responding yes. So, you know, when's a good time to move a whole department head or agency? Never a good time. I appreciate Representative Morgan's words. I know the bill says promptly. That's a relative term. I think this will be a very prudently and carefully undertaken activity when it's all said and done. I have every expectation that the new head will be very sensitive to this and work very collaboratively in the effort to move and dislocate families' lives. Having said that, I'll obviously continue to recognize people and perhaps should recognize Senator Drill.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was just looking at the cost of moving it and wondering if it's cost effective to make the move. It seems to me that there may be some policy advantages. Perhaps the agency will be more responsive. I don't know why a move necessarily means it makes better decisions. So why is it cost effective to move the agency to Salem?
Mr. Co-Chair, if I might, could I ask Ms. James to come forward too if we require technical assistance on this? I assume that you're looking at the fiscal analysis sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at the total expenditures that are required to fund the move that are just over $2.5 million, and that involves putting them in a building in Salem with everything in place for them to begin work. Down below that, you see the $3.9 million to $4.3 million numbers, which are expected to be the net receipts from the sale of the building. There is a range of numbers here because there are a couple of issues that need to be considered, and one of them is the fact that there's about $500,000 in deferred maintenance on the building that ODFW owns right now and occupies in downtown Portland. And that maintenance may or may not have to be taken care of as a condition of the sale of the building. And so there's one of the uncertainties there. The other uncertainty is simply the real estate market. There will be a range of prices in there. So those are, I think, what legislative fiscal, if I'm correct, has identified as the major factors that cause that to be a number that has a range to it. What will end up happening is that the cost of the move won't use up all of the proceeds of the building. And so there is an expectation that we'll be able to use the residual funding to deal with the issue of having to replace the computer systems that are becoming obsolete and are at the point where they can't get people to come in and fix them. There's no support for them anymore. So it certainly is going to cost money. There certainly are costs attached to doing it. Some of those costs are going to have to be dealt with, whether the agency stays in the Portland building or not. I think that there are overriding considerations from a policy point of view that are certainly a huge part of the discussion besides the fiscal implications. And there are certainly a number of them that have to do with the management of the agency in the past and the need to make a clear line there and bring the agency back to a place where it is fiscally responsible and also responsible from a program point of view, so that they're providing the services that they committed to the legislature to provide. So there's a need for greater oversight. There also is, in the state of Oregon, we're going to enter into a period of time where we'll be negotiating with the National Marine Fisheries Service on the recovery planning process for all of the listed fish species that we have. It is extremely important for the state of Oregon that all of the natural resource agencies in the state work together to come up with a recovery plan for these species that works for the state of Oregon and leaves Oregonians in charge of implementing those plans. And in order for that to be successful, it's critical that ODFW be part of the circle of natural resource agencies here, and I'm talking about the Water Resources Department, the Division of State Lands, Forestry, Ag, all of the other natural resource agencies, so that as those plans are developed, they're developed by a group of people that are working very closely together, and we are presenting to the federal government a united policy front. So there are a lot of issues woven into this besides the fiscal issues and the issues of management responsibilities.
Well, thank you for the very thorough answer. It certainly was a well-done answer. The thing that that bothers me a little bit is just that why would just having them here in Salem make them any more responsive in terms of working? You mentioned there are other agencies here that they'd have to work closely with, so maybe that's the answer. But these days, when this agency's had such trouble having enough money in its budget to meet all those needs, and they've had to raise fees and do other kinds of things to keep themselves going, I just don't want to see any unnecessary expenses. That was certainly a very thorough answer. Thank you.
I assume thorough enough that you're only bothered a bit.
Less, but I think I'll still vote no.
Oh, now yeah. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The advancing the government didn't look at this, but I was looking at the dollars that are estimated here in the LFO fiscal analysis in terms of, and it's above the threshold, so they would need to come to JLMTC, and I would anticipate that the recommendation would be that they locate in the General Data Government Center, so it would solve the problem, and they could begin their planning tomorrow as to locating, so they don't even need the site to plan where they're going to stick this computer equipment.
There is a site already.
Well, for the information management.
For the information.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I want to commend Representative Morgan. Did an excellent job, a very thorough job in listening to the testimony, and lots of folks came forward. And this is a difficult thing to move around employees. But we got to keep in mind that we move around employees in virtually every budget, I think, that we're passing. As we pass a corrections budget, we've opened new facilities, we modify other. We're moving employees in the way we educate them, where they get their training. Oregon State Police moves its employees. Our Department of Motor Vehicles, we're opening and closing offices and shifting personnel around. So with our campus, new university campuses and expansion and distance education, it's fairly common for us department by department to be moving quite a number of employees, and I think some of the testimony was given by one of the members of the subcommittee who indicated that he'd had, while he was working as a game officer, with this particular agency. So it's not an uncommon thing for even within that agency for folks to be moving hundreds and hundreds of miles during their careers within the state. So I think if we keep in perspective that this is in fact 200 employees and one office, but the during the term of the budget cycle, we'll be moving at least that many several times.
Thank you. Any further comments? Senator Ferriero.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The committee chairman already discussed the question of coordinating and reconnecting the Department of Fish and Wildlife with other state agencies. But I think the real issue is we spent this last legislative session watching the governor and the natural resources organizations restructuring for institutionalization of the Oregon plan. And there is no other agency that's more central to the continuation of the salmon recovery issue than Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And it is, because it plays such a pivotal role, I think there's a good reason on that basis. So I certainly support the logic in the presentation of the chairman of the subcommittee. But just from a practical standpoint, and this may help address Senator Crow's concerns, $500,000 of deferred maintenance in connection with the building. An analysis of the physical plant, which has been recently conducted by DAS, showing a lot of functional obsolescence in that building as it exists currently. The fact that it's unsuitable for any state agency, including the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the fact that it would need a seismic retrofit, just points to the issue of unsuitability of the building. And rather than invest in not only a brand new physical plant there or retrofitting for a cure of the functional obsolescence and the seismic retrofit, it doesn't really make sense to limp along with the IT system that we have, information processing system that we have. So when you add all those things together, the central role of the F&W will play with the salmon recovery program and all of the deferred maintenance that's piled up on the system, doesn't make sense for us to have a dynamo. We really need to pull this agency back into the campus here in Salem and not spend too much more money on this functionally obsolete building.
Thank you, Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I think people have convinced me that proximity is really an important thing. And I think we ought to try to move the House of Representatives closer to us, because that might help, too. Good.
In the form of a motion.
Move it closer to the representative.
Was that a motion,
that
Senator?
I just think we might have more efficiency.
Okay, any other discussions quickly?
I just want to say that we here in Salem welcome you with open arms.
Okay, we have Senator Dukes and Crow as no. Any other no's on this budget, or excuse me, on this bill? Let the record show Senator Crow, Senator Dukes are no's. Seeing no other nays, Senate Bill 50A, as amended, is reported to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. As a courtesy to Representative Morgan, excuse me, let's flip over the page and go to House Bill 3105. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill creates an income tax credit equal to 75% of the market value of foregone crops when riparian land is moved from farm production. The bill excludes raising of livestock from the definition of crop. It defines riparian land as the area within 35 feet of the bank of a watercourse. It is non-refundable but may be carried forward for 5 years. The tax credit will first be available in the 04 tax year. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources amended the bill to clarify what land is eligible for the credit and how the value of the foregone crops are determined. We also clarified that the credit stops when land is put back into production and is not again eligible for tax credit for at least 5 years. The bill also makes a housekeeping change to the tax code relating to Measure 50 that was missed in the last legislative session. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends passing this bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any questions? Any objections? Representative Schrader.
Question for Representative Morgan, if I may. It seems like a question: why were livestock operators taken out of the bill?
Ms. James, I think that the difficulty there was in defining what was pasture and what wasn't pasture, and so that was taken out.
just a, it is a good bill. I like the bill. I've got a few sheep myself, but I know some of my colleagues that have greater operations out in central and eastern Oregon that, and I know talking to some of my environmental friends too, that that's an issue. You know, livestock can cause some damage. So to the extent that it'd be an opportunity at some point to maybe broaden this bill to include livestock owners, find some language that could get us there, I think that'd be really helpful to the intent. And I suppose your comment that as soon as something went back in production, one would lose the credit. So if someone stopped a crop enterprise as defined in this bill, they get the credit. And then should they start up a livestock enterprise that would impact the riparian area, would they then lose that credit?
That's correct.
If that's intended. Any further comments? Any objections to moving House Bill 3105 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, is ordered.
Thank you.
Senate Bill 472, as amended, Senator Hannah.
Mr. Co-Chair and members, this bill increases the felony classification for the offense of failure to perform the duties of a driver to an injured person from a Class C felony to a Class B felony if the victim suffers a serious physical injury or dies as a result of the accident. The bill also directs the Criminal Justice Commission to classify this elevated offense at a crime seriousness ranking of 8 on the sentencing guideline grid. Finally, the bill would ratify administrative rules relating to sentencing guidelines adopted by the Criminal Justice Commission during the interim. The Committee on Capital Construction removed the fiscal impact that was associated with the bill by amendments. We have the concurrence of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we would recommend approval of the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the subcommittee, I voted no, and I'll vote no here today. I have a constituent whose life was impacted under this. I don't have a problem with increasing the penalties, but we have refused to yet address the issue of when a driver seeks to perform and render aid, and then the victim or the person you hit refuses it and walks off, and then later the cops show up to arrest you because you didn't stick around and wait. It's been a serious issue and affected my constituents' lives dramatically, and so I'll be voting no for those reasons.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Any other objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 472A, as amended, is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Senate Bill 495, Representative Westland. Senate Bill 495 delays the implementation of juror fee and mileage increases by 6 months. The amendments replace the original bill. The 99 Legislative Assembly approved an increase in juror compensation effective July 1, 2001. The adopted budget for the Judicial Department, which includes jury expenses, was reduced 2.4% below the current service level. Delaying the increase will reduce juror expenses by approximately $588,000. This reduction will enable the Judicial Department to operate within its legislatively adopted budget. The Subcommittee on Capital Construction, Lottery, and Bonding recommend approval of Senate Bill 495. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 495 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2713, Senator Ferriola.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 2713 relating to funding of water measurements establishes a fund for paying the cost of installing, repairing, or replacing water measurement devices to monitor stream flow and water rights. Stream flow gauges measure the general stream flow and provide valuable information in establishing the foundation necessary for effective water distribution, protecting water rights, and assisting in planning for future water supply needs. The Water Resources Department currently works with other government entities in the installation and maintenance of 200 stream flow gauges statewide. To fund these activities, this bill establishes a separate fund of receiving additional revenue. Revenue for the fund can be appropriated from the legislature or can come from other sources, including gifts, donations, or grants from other government agencies. As amended, there's no fiscal impact to this bill. Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval. House Bill 3557 is amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions relating to House Bill 2713 as amended? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2713 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none. So ordered. One last piece of business, Division of State Lands. Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is a federal grant application request. The Division of State Lands requests permission to apply for a $750,000 grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for habitat conservation planning. The division will use the funds to continue work on the habitat conservation plan required to implement Senate Bill 172 that was recently signed by the governor. Senate Bill 172 brings the division one step closer to assuming administration of 404 of the Federal Clean Water Act relating to removal field permits in state navigable waters. Currently, a landowner must obtain a permit from the state and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Senate Bill 172 conforms state statutes to federal requirements and authorizes continued work in the 2001-3 biennium. The division will return to the 2003 Legislative Assembly to request authority to actually assume administration of the Clean Water Act. Your Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommending approving the request to apply for the grant application with the understanding the Division of State Lands will return to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation and position authority if the grant is awarded.
Good read, Representative. Any objections to this timely grant request? Seeing none. So ordered. Announcements. Mike, do we have any... announcements other than the fact everyone be very, 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 very sensitive to your calendars. We're obviously on 1 hour notice. Representative Hill?
Mr. Chair, if I can ask unanimous consent to me to vote on House Bill 5029, Senate Bill 5512, Senate Bill 5513 as I was in with the Speaker.
Any objections to allowing Representative Hill to vote on
House Bill 5029, 55, Senate Bill 5512, and Senate Bill 5513?
Any objections to allowing Representative Hill to vote on House Bill 5029, 5512, and 5513? Seeing none, how do you vote, sir?
Vote aye on all three.
Aye on all three. Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, Human Resources Sub will meet at 9 a.m.
Human Resources going to meet at 9 a.m.
Education at 10.
Education at 10. You guys are getting right down to the nubbins there. The Capital Construction Lottery and Bonding Sub is subject to meet in an hour's notice and probably will several times tomorrow. I don't think we have any other announcements.
Yeah, we got it together.
We're adjourned.